If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Sadly, the answer to your headline from yesterday, does Mitt Romney have enough dignity to turn down Donald Trump, would be...
Computer says no.
No. No. It is really stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. And, you know, and then I tweeted, so I happened to hear this morning, of course, listening to NPR, cliche that I am, Garrison Keillor says that today was Mark Twain's and Jonathan Swift's birthday. Wow. How about that for a fortuity? So I tweeted that I wished Twain and Swift had been alive to hear Mitt say last night about that thing about Donald's, what was it, his message of inclusion.
Oh, God. I mean, it's hard to know which story is most vomitous. You've tweeted about a lot of them, but you went back. I'd forgotten this speech Mitt gave, where he said, "I believe with all my heart and soul we face another time for choosing, one that will have profound consequences for the Republican Party, more importantly for the country." I mean, and it was brutal, right?
It was brutal, and it went on and on and on, and it covered economic policy, it covered domestic policy, it covered foreign policy, and he was even more vicious with him on foreign policy probably than on economic policy. In other words, on the area in which he's about apparently to be taking Donald Trump's orders. And then it was full of personal attacks, dishonest, phony. It said he's a phony, and it said, now we're going to find out in these next few months, if he doesn't release his tax returns, he is a phony. So he hasn't. So Mitt Romney must still think he's a phony, but he's prepared to go to work for him, I guess.
Yeah. And you said if he were desperate, you can think of about 250 million reasons why Mitt isn't desperate. And you say, Mr. Romney, where's your dignity? This cannot end well for you. And you still go, is this all just an exercise in humiliating Mitt Romney? Is he not going to get it after all anyway?
Well, you know, that would be a Trump kind of thing to do.
Right.
That's for sure. And give it to his pal Rudy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I mean, a lot of people tweeted me yesterday. A lot of people on our side of the fence tweeted to me, well, you know, you're right, Tomasky, but, you know, still, he would be like a voice of kind of reason and sanity in that crowd. So maybe we should just hope that he gets it instead of Rudy or Petraeus.
Your tweets are just the right height.
The fact that Mitt Romney would participate in normalizing this monster, Michael, is just, all of it makes me crazy. A bunch of your tweets, by the way, you said, guess who said what Petraeus did was worse than Hillary? James Comey. No words exist for this.
Wow.
I mean, you said, so the man who just ran versus crooked Hillary might make a Secretary of State a guy who pled guilty to mishandling classified material. I mean, you really can't write. Well, you can write it because you're a good writer.
No words. We should just sit here for the next, 8 minutes and just go to each other.
Sputter. Sputter. Yeah. I mean, all of it, the conflicts of interest. You tweeted, normally I'd be worried an incoming Republican president would invade Cuba. I'm worried this one will want to buy it.
And I mean, you know, so now he's going to do something, I guess, about his business interests. But I don't know what he can do. I mean, he knows where he has interests. He knows where he has investments. He knows where he has stakes, you know.
Right. How is that a blind trust? Exactly.
Yeah, right. So unless we can, like, conjure Spock, and Spock can do one of those things to his mind, you know, where he forgets
the Vulcan mind,
that particular part of his life.
Yeah.
Then, you know, there's no such thing in this case as a blind trust. You know, anybody can just Google Trump hotels, and there they are. There's
right.
a map.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He already knows where he's invested. How would it ever be blind? I mean, it's just the whole thing is but again, you know, we're talking about the story in Politico that there's barely any Republicans that want to say anything about it or will do anything about it.
No, they won't do a thing about it. You know, Jason Chaffetz was ready to keep investigating Hillary on the basis of things she did, you know, 4 years ago, 5-6 years ago, while she was president, if she had won. But, you know, now Trump, he's been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Jason.
I loved your piece yesterday. The people chose Hillary Clinton. Now we need to stop Donald Trump from trashing our democracy. You know, like I was saying, Michael, I think part of this whole story has just been the mainstream media from day one. I mean, and you know, you went through it all point by point.
Yeah. I mean, the failures are well known, but it's still shocking. And it was still shocking the other day when he did that tweet about millions of people voting illegally. And, you know, again, I tweeted instantly. I said, let's see how the papers deal with this tomorrow. Are they going to couch it? I mean, I said this in 140 characters in some way or another, but
right.
Are they going to say that this is something that Trump alleges, or are they going to say it's false? So the Washington Post did, of the major papers, did the best job of saying in its headline that Trump said this, but it's false. And the New York Times did an okay job.
Right.
You know, the Wall Street Journal ran a headline that was like Pravda worthy. It was just like, you know, Trump says illegals, you know, millions voted illegally. You know, Stalin says Cossacks hate the peasants. You know?
Yeah, right, right. But, you know, you made a point in your article yesterday, Michael, that I've been making. You said, imagine the evidence was ample that intelligence agencies had hacked RNC servers in Kellyanne Conway's email account, that a shady international refugee from justice, a Julian Assange equivalent, had leaked material out for 33 straight days before the election, and the media, the so-called liberal media, had published the results more or less uncritically. Imagine it. Don't you think the FBI would possibly have opened up an investigation during the election? Do we dare allow ourselves to think now that the FBI will even look into this at all? I mean, we've just never seen the likes of this election, right?
No, we haven't. I mean, and what I left out there, I realized after I wrote it, was don't forget, the presidential candidate, Trump, running against the other presidential candidate who was attacked by these hacks, hurt by these hacks, encouraged them. Remember?
Yeah.
Back in the summer?
Yes.
Of course you remember.
Yes, it smelled treasony to me. Yes.
Yeah, he encouraged this hacking. And they did it, and you know, it had a material, you know, obvious effect on the campaign and on the vote. I just reverse the situation and imagine the screaming.
Yeah, and I loved you said, by all means, these recounts should be pursued. Whatever Jill Stein's motives here, she stumbled into doing something right for once. Democrats from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi on down should be raising every question they can about Trump's legitimacy and conflicts. I mean, you're right. This is the guy that started the questioning President Obama's legitimacy based on nothing. You know, an American citizen that won in two landslides, and they blocked him at every turn and questioned his legitimacy. You know, Trump was the birther in chief, right?
Yeah, right. And as you say, based on absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Based on absolutely nothing. And,
yeah.
You know, to this day, I haven't seen a poll in a year or so, but to this day, how many Republicans still probably believe that Obama wasn't born in the United States? Probably 30%, right?
So, well, no, they say, what was it, 60% of Trump voters think he's Muslim, 65% think he wasn't born here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, but you crystallize it, Michael. You say three simple points. He was not the choice of the people. He prevailed with the help of a foreign power, a power to which he clearly will be indebted, and he tells us straight up he will do as he pleases with his business, and that is that he's above the law. Democrats ought to be able to stand up and oppose that, not in the name of party, but in the name of country. The press ought to, too, not in the name of liberalism, in the name of the values we purport to defend. We are in a crisis. The next few weeks will show us who's up to recognizing and acting on it. Thank you, Michael, for using the words. This is a constitutional and every other kind of crisis, and I'm astounded that people are normalizing it.
Yeah, I mean, the one development that got me, really got me, was when Bush's ethics lawyer, Mr. Painter.
Say that with a straight face. Yes, yes.
Right, but still, he was. Bush's ethics lawyer said that Trump will be in conflict from the moment he takes the oath of office, and the electors cannot vote for him to be the president.
Yes.
A Republican, you know,
right.
Bush's guy said this.
Right. You also tweeted, regarding Trump won't pursue HRC charges, blatant lie to his base, and the effing president doesn't get to decide that in the first place. I mean, that's the other thing. This whole, like, whatever were applause lines, I'm going to appoint a prosecutor or lock you, you know, that's not even constitutional.
No.
Right.
Well, this is another good media point, Stephanie, because when I saw that covered on cable and, you know, again, I think on NPR and you know, also in newspapers and websites, most of them didn't even mention that the president doesn't have this power. They just thought it was news that Trump said he would lay off Hillary without saying, how do you not remind your readers that the president does not have this power?
Right.
That's not, you know.
And now we have Roger Stone, the Trump ally, is out there saying, oh, well, now he might prosecute because she's involved in the recount. I mean, we don't jail our political opponents. It's still America, the last I checked. I mean, Yeah, I mean, that's exactly, Michael. It's the normalization of that kind of rhetoric, too.
Yeah, right. And somebody tweeted the other day is journalism just reporting what people said, or is it standing up for, certain small-D democratic values?
Right.
Well, we're going to find out.
Right. Well, somebody sent, the story yesterday is, do you cover his tweets or the story that he's trying to distract from? And I guess you have to cover them both. But if you can't see how, reckless it is that we have a conspiracy theorist as president-elect tweeting conspiracy theories about vote fraud or whatever else, I don't know what to say, right?
And attacks on specific journalists, and, he'll find himself another Judge Curiel before long.
Yeah.
It seems that, being the president isn't going to stop him from doing these things, unless maybe the Secret Service just stops him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I would assume that the good news is we're already on the enemy's list. I'm sure it's very, very long, but we have made it.
Well, I hope so. I would be hurt if I weren't.
I'd be very disappointed, yes. Michael, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, my friend.
All right, there he goes. Michael Tomasky. We love what he has to say.
He's great.
Fantastic.